Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome into Wake and Bake Radio. I'm Jamie Lynch, in with Andrew Salchunas. As always, we got Dylan McKinnon running the board today and our man Colin shadowing. Happy Sunday morning to all out there. Lot to get into today. The Phillies could win a series versus a pretty good team. We're about 5 days away from the Eagles draft. The Flyers season will be putting us out of our misery soon, which we don't have to talk about.
They're still playing?
Right? Don't they have like a game or two left?
Wow.
It's the longest season ever.
Imagine still going.
Yeah. But the big story, obviously, is the Sixers and the Toronto Raptors. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I am bugged out by the injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
severely hurt their chances.
It's concerning. He doesn't even want to be helped up with his right hand.
That's the thing that shook me to my core.
And I'm not. This is not a shot at Joel Embiid, but Joel Embiid is, you know, he's on the ground 1,000 times a game, right?
I don't want to say dramatic, but
no, he's extremely dramatic. But he's on the ground 1,000 times a game, and when both hands are feeling healthy, he gets helped up 1,000 times a game. Have you ever seen Joel Embiid lift himself up off the ground? You never see it. And it's now gotten to the point where he is not even extending his right hand. Or he's going and then he forgets and he pulls the hand away.
He's clearly in pain. There's no denying that. You know, the people will say, game three, he still hit that game winner. Yeah, he's also got adrenaline pumping through his veins at that point.
Yeah, pain gets worse. And oh, by the way, when he's getting swatted at the basket and
They're coming down on him. Well, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah,
if I was around.
You know that the hand's banged up, and that's your chance.
You make him earn it. If he's going to go to the free throw line 11 or 12 times a game, make him earn those free throws. I would do the same exact thing if I was Nick Nurse. But I'm concerned. I am not about this round. The series is over. Sixers will win it tomorrow night. I'm not worried about that. But I do think it really affects the next series. And I'm not laying this out as an excuse. But this is now the fifth playoff of Joel Embiid's career. He's been healthy for one of them, which was the bubble year of all years.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even a normal year on top of it. The other 4 years, he's dealt with some kind of injury, from a torn meniscus to a torn ligament to the face to the shield.
Yeah, but that was a freak injury.
They're all freak injuries.
That was Markelle Fultz being an idiot.
This hurts. Like, every year we get here and it's something. Yeah. It just feels...
It sucks.
Gray storm cloudish.
No, it sucks, but, you know, we'll see how he ends up doing, you know, after a couple more days rest. I don't know. I'm sure at some point it's going to require some sort of procedure, which sucks.
Well, I thought about that too yesterday. I'm sorry. I'm just bearing my soul here. I was thinking about that. I don't think they play him yesterday if it's one of those things where rest helps. So I had the thought that maybe rest right now isn't going to help this thumb. Otherwise, you might have considered giving him a game off. Hopefully you get the sweep. Then he's got like 9 to 10 days off, or 8 or 9 days, whatever it is. So my fear was that by them playing him,
they're like, well, it's not going to get any better.
It's not going to get any better with rest. So
why are you bringing me down so early, dude?
I know, but this is like... It just sucks.
I just wanted to complain that they went out there with a lack of effort.
Well, we're going to get to that.
And thought that they were going to walk through.
We're going to get to that.
And I'm okay with it. I'm not like angry today, but man, you are bringing me down.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm not usually bring you down guy. But when I got that tweet on Friday, you know, my first thought was, okay, maybe it's not too bad. Maybe it's something he can play with it. Kyle Lowry did it in their championship run. Other guys have done it. And then I saw the game and I just like... My optimism just shrunk. It shriveled.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I know he didn't look...
He'll come back and perform better.
He didn't look great, but the whole team didn't look great. So I don't... Like,
I'm not
as concerned as you are, man.
I'm worried about him.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to affect
him. I guess I did the bake part of the show, man. Oh, everything's beautiful, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's how I felt.
I mean, listen, if he gets hurt, you're done, right? Like, it's over, and maybe that's part of it that's creeping in your brain, that you know that if Joel Embiid is not, like, capable to play the way that he plays, then they have no shot of winning games. It doesn't matter if Tyrese Maxey's putting up 30.
That's where I'm coming from.
You know, if James Harden is only giving you 20-some a night, and Joel Embiid is only giving you 20-some a night, they're not going to win basketball games, or they're not going to win a 7-game series. And maybe that's why you're feeling the way that you are. But
yes,
I don't know. I watched yesterday, and I thought it was more so just a lack of effort. I'm not 100% blaming the refs, but the refs weren't really, they didn't really do a great job calling the game. And Joel Embiid took a shot at them after the game. I think Embiid feels fine, man. The way he's clapping, coming off the court, like, he wouldn't be doing that if he was like, oh man, I'm in pain.
Like, yeah, but he wore it on his sleeve. Like, he wore that pain out there.
I'm sorry.
Call it being dramatic.
Has he ever not worn something on his sleeve?
Well, that
a couple months ago against Jared Allen, he pretended as if his back got snapped in half, and then he did a poster dunk off a missed free throw 5 seconds later.
I know.
So I can't go, oh man, he's really wearing it on his sleeve. He always wears it on his sleeve.
Yeah, but this is real pain. Like the Jared Allen thing, he was like a temporary pain. This is a torn ligament on a hand where he's going to get people crashing on him constantly. Yeah. He's going to be going up for blocks.
He's also going to have sports medicine being pumped in the wall.
I hope. I mean,
he will.
It was a real kick to the junk for my playoff optimism.
I get it, but what was your optimism? NBA Finals?
I thought they could make a finals run.
I was still saying Eastern
I thought
Conference.
Eastern Conference, but yeah. If they got Milwaukee and not Boston, because I think Milwaukee's actually the better matchup, which we'll get into, because yeah. This Boston team, whoa.
Or is it the Nets team is filled with fleas?
That's another thing we'll get into.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, we'll get into that because the Nets situation kind of fascinates me.
On and off the court?
Yes, and we'll get into that.
On the bench and not on the bench.
We kind of have to talk about Kevin Durant's legacy a little bit.
Yeah, man.
There's some interesting stats out there. There's some interesting stats on James Harden and Chris Paul games officiated by Scott Foster. The NBA playoffs is pretty fascinating right now.
Yeah, T-Wolves split even up the series at 2 last
night. There's a lot of good storylines going on in the NBA right now.
And they've been fun to watch. I mean, the Grizzlies-T-Wolves series, there's so much back and forth, so much trash talk. There was a tweet that Ja Morant has tweeted more than he's actually scored. Like, there's so much going on right now in all these series. Quite frankly, we've had the most boring series.
Probably. It got pretty good with Toronto in game 3 with the bleep and bead chance and then the game winner.
Yeah, but that's the fans. The game winner, but it's a 3-0 series lead. What do they call it? The gentleman's sweep? Like,
that would be in 5.
Yesterday's game was just like, blah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this series. I think it ends tomorrow night here in
this
town.
One might be the most boring one.
It might be.
And I'm fine with it.
And seeing Embiid, Harden, and Maxey on the bench after the games with the arms around.
Embiid had his arms around.
And Harden's just saying, like, look, guys, it wasn't our night. We'll get him next game.
Yeah, and if, I feel like if Embiid was really concerned about his injury, he doesn't have that attitude.
Well, if it's not hurting him as much as he acted like, then stop acting like it.
Dude, he's always acting. He's a soccer player at heart.
I know, but, like, it affected his game. There was lazy. All right, let's get into the game. His cross-court passes, turnovers, was lazy, and you can't tell me that wasn't affected by his...
No, I think that entire game was lazy. It wasn't just him. It was
It wasn't just him, but I'm talking about him specifically
right now.
Shame on
me. So many people told me about... Anthony was saying that the 2 o'clock start has never... And I thought, all right, this is a new team, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So Monday night, 8 o'clock, they roll.
I know.
I mean, I don't even think Toronto has a punch left to throw in that game.
They're still back against the wall. They'll come. I think the Sixers handle it. We'll look at what
the line is. 8.
Is it 8?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I saw an effect in the game from Joel Embiid. Nobody really played well in the game on Saturday, except Tobias played okay. Harden played okay at times. Overall was solid.
Yeah, I mean, his best game so far this series was game 3, where he was close to a triple-double, and in the first half, remember, that's when Embiid only had 5 points. I know he fouled out that game, but that's when Embiid only had 5 points. Harden actually kept them above water.
Yeah.
That first half, he played really well.
Yeah, I think he had 12 at half or something.
Yeah, I think everybody just kind of went through the motions yesterday. I mean,
it did seem like that.
Like, I'll be honest, at the end, when they're making that, not that that comeback was real, but like the B-ball Pauls and Jaden Springers, you know why? Because those guys are like, all right, let me show a lot of energy out there in my limited time to play with the Sixers. So that's why you saw them, like they actually look better.
Yeah.
Because the Sixer stars, they're like, all right, we're not winning this one. Especially when you're down like 12 with a couple minutes left. They were coasting up and down the court. And then you saw that reaction on the bench with Embiid, Harden, and Maxey. And it was like, yeah, lay it. Lay the 8 points on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, those three got you a combined of 53 points. That is not normal.
It was a
pretty horrendous game.
It's usually around 80.
Yeah.
Like if two of them have 30 and one of them's got 20,
yeah,
it's usually around 80 points between the three of them. They just looked like they, you know, what's the term that Paul wrote, out of the mud? They were in the mud yesterday.
We called that in the weeds in the restaurant industry.
Okay, they were in the weeds.
In the mud. That must be a Southern thing.
I don't know. That's Paul Rito is.
He's from Louisiana.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Right?
Makes sense.
Am I making that up?
B-ball Paul, man.
No?
Getting out of the mud.
Where's he from?
I don't know. You might
Orlando, Florida. That up.
No, still down there.
Still south. Yeah. Yeah. Just a crappy game overall. Nobody really played well. Danny Green was horrendous.
He was terrible.
George Niang was solid coming in his sniping role. But then he
tried playing D.
When he has to do anything but shoot, it's a little rough.
It's awful. It's awful. And yesterday maybe was a game where you missed Matisse Thybulle a little bit in his perimeter defense.
Probably could have used some minutes.
Gary Trent had a good night yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I said before the series started that there was going to be a game where somebody is on fire for the Raptors and they just couldn't miss it. And you started seeing that yesterday. And, you know, Van Vliet has struggled this entire series.
He's beat up.
But Gary Trent with 24 yesterday, Siakam with 34 yesterday.
Yes,
Siakam. That was the game where a couple of guys got hot. You didn't have a good shooting day. You didn't seem to have a lot of great energy because you went through the motions. And they take care of business, man.
I can't believe you're not. I feel like on an island here.
Bill Strobel just tweeted it with pessimism. You're way over the top with your concern right now. I'm with Bill, man.
I don't feel that at all.
I just want to go paint some things with Bill and just kind of relax.
I'm not worried about the series, but I'm worried about Joel Embiid. Look, he doesn't wear injuries well. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a guy where you go, oh, he's like, some players play through injury and you could like kind of not notice if you didn't know. Joel Embiid, you could watch from Mars and know he's injured.
Dude, he's a soccer player.
I'm aware. And that's what it gives me concern because look, he'll be fine. Like, he'll come back next game and make me look stupid.
He's going to put up 30.
I'm shocked you're not a little more pessimistic now because I felt like I got peed on.
No, man, you're trying to bring me down. I'm not that guy today.
I don't want to be that guy.
That is not going to happen to me today, damn it.
All right, well, let's see if...
Sixers in five.
If I'm on... the Sixers in five. What about the next round?
Well, you got 8 days of rest.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully rest does something. Dr. Chow, football doc, he said it looks fine. He'll come in.
Shoot him up. German HGH blood cycling in there.
Yeah, come on, man.
Let's figure something out here. All right, let's kick it off on the phones and see if I'm the weird one or if you're more with Tunis where you're not worried at all about this.
Wake the baked radio.
I'm bugging out, man. Devin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Dev?
It'd be better if Joel Embiid was healthy. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, you got to... He what? 7 for 16. The free throw, like he didn't really get to the last four free throw attempts were like the last like 2 minutes of the game and it was already over. Like he didn't really get to the line.
He even brought that up during his post game press conference and he said, if I'm not going to get the calls this game, I might as well get a little bit more aggressive next game. I mean, he was talking about being even more aggressive, which is why I'm like, all right, he's fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he went 7 for 16. Granted, if he puts three more free throws and like two more buckets, he almost hits 30 again. But the big problem was his injury, like them cross court passes.
Oh my god, what was he doing? See, I view that as a result of being injured.
Yeah, I view it as laziness,
which is a result of being injured. He plays a lazier style of game when he's hurt.
Yeah, and that's what's
bugging me out.
Yeah, and another thing, they could like if he's trapped on the side, like just at least try to cut to the basket, try to move your defender to try to get an open look better. You know what I mean? Danny Green was bad. It was just an overall bad game. I already knew it was going to be Sixers in five. I said,
I said Sixers and six originally, so it doesn't shock me, but the injury scares me.
Yeah, I just hope, like, we close it out Monday and he just gets some rest. I'm praying for Trae Young.
Keep going, Trey. Let's go, Hawks.
But that's all I got.
Dev, you going to lay the eight on Monday?
Nah, I ain't touching that. I don't really gamble. I'm not a gambler.
Okay, all right. Dev, have a great rest of the weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Lay it.
Yeah? You laying it?
Lay it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to be like, oh, man, I was way too concerned that Saturday
about next
and
game.
Sunday.
I'm not worried about next game.
No, but I think he's going to look good. Like, I think the whole team looks good.
Look, when Kyle Lowry...
Danny Green's not going to be 2 of 7.
No, he's not. When Kyle Lowry plays, with the same injury in his finals run, he's a guard. Joel Embiid's going to have people crashing on him, doubling and tripling. Like, his thumb gets more action.
Kyle Lowry also doesn't look for an Oscar every game.
Yes, he does. Have you seen Kyle Lowry?
No, when he's trying to draw fouls. I'm not saying the injury
part. Flopper.
No, yeah, the flopper part. But I'm saying Embiid, like, you would think his hand was decapitated sometimes.
Yes, and that's what's bugging me out.
But he does that with everything.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it okay. I'm sorry, man.
You're not going to feel good until they win the finals.
Three or four games in a row where he doesn't look like he's affected.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm going to get it.
Sorry, man.
This is not fun for me.
I feel bad for you.
This is not enjoyable.
Like, I'm okay.
I'm freaking out, man. Let's go to Chris in Philly. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm freaking out, too.
All right, I'm not alone.
No, I would say how he comes out and how he looks in game five will determine my outlook moving forward.
Kind of the same with you, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, just because it affects, that hand affects everything. I think he put it best when he said if it was his non-shooting hand, it would be completely different because it affects how he predominantly dribbles. It affects how he does those one-handed passes out of double team.
Completely agree.
It affects how aggressive he is. So no kidding he's not getting fouls because he's trying to avoid that kind of contact inside because they're just taking swipes at his hand. He's relying on jumpers more than he ever really does in a game. I just think it affects the way he plays, and therefore it affects how everybody else plays. And part of that is, okay, so you look past this series and you go, because let's write this one off. They're going to win this, whether it's in five or six.
Yeah, I agree, totally. Uh-huh.
So then you look ahead. You're like, all right, Maxey, other than game one, he's largely been invisible, especially in the first half. Then you look at Harden, and you're like, okay, he's been good. But without Embiid at his best,
yeah. If Embiid's not at his best, Chris, like then it's done. I'm just not freaking out as much about the injury just yet.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was trying to establish. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I mean, if he's not 100%, right, and if he's not even 80%, that's why I said it right out of the bat. If he's scoring 15 to 20 points, then they got no shot. They're losing in round two.
Yeah, and that's why he's got to come out. And I don't know what. You know, the only kind of treatment for, if it is fully torn and they haven't said anything, the only kind of treatment for that really is surgery. But if it's only partially torn, you need rest and you need ice. That's it for that type of injury. And he's not getting that right now. Whereas if they had won, my goodness, we all saw what a week of rest did for everybody heading into this series.
Yeah.
You sort of lament it and you're like, so it's a missed opportunity. But hopefully they can come out and win game five.
Yeah, I think they take care of business in five.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
I think they're rocking with the home crowd. And then they're off until, I think, what, the earliest they can play is Saturday.
Earliest is Saturday.
So that would be 6 days rest. Five days rest.
Yeah, I hope. It's just 4 or 5 years he's been in the playoffs injured.
I know,
it's just really... It's disheartening.
And it's, you know, what sucks even more is we were on such a high that we changed our expectations, and then all of a sudden it seems like he's getting bothered by the hand.
Because of the roadmap you got, like John asked Bob and I the other day, do you think they're true title contenders? And I said, well, how many title contenders do you think there are entering the playoffs? Like probably six true ones, maybe seven you can make a case for if a Dallas.
Right, that might be too high.
Or a Memphis. Well, because I considered Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Boston. Yeah. Philadelphia, so you and Miami, you have to put in there as the one seeds. There's almost five in the East.
Okay,
three of those were going to eliminate themselves.
Yeah,
that you
learning,
didn't have to worry about
Brooklyn.
Yeah, I want to talk about them coming up because they're kind of fascinating me.
Oh, yeah.
That is a bizarre storyline going on up there. And I'll Ben Simmons is not going to play in game four.
No, he's gonna,
what?
He has to.
What does he have to gain? He's going to come back and possibly be the first player in NBA history to play in back-to-back elimination games.
That's awesome.
What does he have to gain?
What does Kevin Durant think about that, dude? Like, when Kevin Durant walks in the locker room, I don't know who's there first. And he sees that outfit. And I get it. It's the NBA. A lot of guys wear stuff like that.
No, he's different.
But, Ben has made it a point to be noticed on this.
He's making himself a yellow highlighter on the sidelines every time.
He basically wore a yellow highlighter when he was in Philadelphia, when he wore that Louis Vuitton hockey jersey.
He's trying to stand out on the bench.
Yeah, and so if you're Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, and you're just trying to win a game, and you're like, dude, really? With that?
There's so many good internet jokes and memes going around right now.
Last night was fantastic.
I saw one that was like, imagine being Kevin Durant, you're fighting for your life, and you walk into the locker room and see Ben Simmons in his freshest fit.
That's awesome.
Let's just boil this down to a human level. That would fill you with rage.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Especially if you think he's capable of playing.
Yes.
I'm going to come out for game four, but not game three?
Well, that's
how are you projecting to Monday, but not Saturday?
Because somebody made a good point. If they win game four, it's, wow, they needed Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
If they lose game four, it's, well, they were pretty much done at that point. He'll get ready for next year.
So it's two built-in excuses both ways.
It kind of works out for him. But if he came back for game three and they lose both games, then it's, oh, man, look, it was a mess, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It looks worse.
We'll talk about that. We'll continue to talk about the Sixers and the Miami series. We now turn our attention big time to Atlanta and Miami. I was watching that game the other night.
Shocked. I thought it was going to be Miami in four.
I bet the Hawks. Because Mike missed Friday night walking out, said Hawks outright.
Really?
The line's fishy. So I was like, me and Devon were like, screw it, let's follow him.
He seemed
confident.
That's awesome.
So cashed on that.
Good
but yeah,
you,
we'll
man.
Continue talking about the NBA playoffs. It's pretty awesome. I'm bugging out about the injury. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoot it. I'm usually pretty optimistic.
Andrew,
I really am. Andrew over here is fine. He's the dude. He's got the white Russian in the bathrobe on.
I'm just chilling,
He's just stirring his drink. Nothing to worry about, man. Ike in Southwest, we'll talk to you first. Maybe you can talk me off the ledge. Anybody else out there that can help me? 610-632-0975. He's the Tunis. I'm Jamie Lynch. You're listening to Wake and Bake Radio here on The Fanatic. Time at The Fanatic is 922.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Weekend news dump coming up pretty quickly here from Andrew Salchunas. He's been working all week at it.
Worked hard.
Pretty impressive time back from the bathroom for you there.
Yeah, I asked Colin, who's shadowing today, how much time's left. He said a minute 36.
And you're out of here short-winded now because
I sprinted, peed,
did you go
washed?
Sanitizer or wash?
Wash.
Sometimes sanitizer in a hurry is
wash,
fine because you can
then,
do it on the go.
And sprinted my way back. Can I say something? You know what? There's obviously a lot of bad things about the NICU.
Andrew, you have a microphone in front of you. You can say whatever the hell you want to.
I can cuss too if I want.
It always reminds me of Billy Mann or The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Sir, if you don't shut up, I'm going to strangle you with this microphone.
Well, I see that
microphone cord. Oh, you see
that one?
You will listen to every damn word I have to say.
I saw that one a lot too.
Oh, great movie.
But it's the Adam Sandler catalog.
I can't wait to see that basketball movie that was filmed in Florida.
Hustle?
Yeah, that's coming out. Relatively soon, I think.
Right around game, I think it was game six of the finals.
Is that when it's released? Okay.
I think, yeah, exactly. The NICU.
I can't imagine what you guys have been thinking.
Oh, it is
just
sucked.
Being in there in general.
I was there yesterday from 8 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Oof.
So I watched the Sixers game on the phone, you know, so it was a blast yesterday.
And on that note, God bless technology.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, just like yesterday, me and my wife went out to dinner with the girls and there wasn't a TV, but I could like put the Hulu in the baby carrier and kind of keep an eye on it.
Make it work.
It's just like in between, you know, last weekend I went out to dinner at the end of game one, but was able to watch it in the Uber to the restaurant. And
they
finished,
were up big at that point.
Yeah,
so
like,
you're like, you know,
it's just so nice to be able to watch games on the go anymore.
It's awesome.
The other day I had to get my window replaced. I'm watching the Phillies game for an hour and a half.
It's
a game changer.
So I've been, tomorrow will be 5 weeks at the NICU. I've watched so many games
on your phone.
The phone.
Do you have an iPad?
God. No.
Of course you don't.
No. I have an iPhone, Jamie.
what model? 7? 6?
No, this
are you up to date?
This one's relatively
okay.
New.
Look at you.
What are we at? 13?
I don't even know. I think so.
This is in the 11, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
That's what I have.
But I had the 6 for like.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had like the block iPhone.
Yeah, it was not good. But the hand washing for the NICU, you have to do the 2-minute scrub.
Oh, wow.
And you have to go all the way up to your elbow. And, you know, how often are you washing your elbow? Dude, they are just raw.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're like they were bleeding the other day.
Oh,
my
geez.
Elbows. Because you had to do, you know, all the stuff and whatnot.
This does not sound enjoyable.
Dude, I'm so itchy. Constantly.
You gotta moisturize, bro.
I do, but like.
You gotta treat yourself right. Get yourself some moisturizer.
But I don't do that till I get home.
I know, that is the downfall.
I don't bring the moisturizer.
Well, Bob Cooney travels.
He's a genius.
He's got the moisturizer in his bag every day. Really makes you wonder what Bob's up to. Let's go to Ashton in Chester County. What's up, Ashton?
Hey, how are you guys?
I said it earlier, I'd be doing a lot better if Joel Embiid wasn't injured, but I'm doing all right.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yes, please, help me.
So I came into yesterday, I was driving to work, I said, feels like a loss. You know, 2 o'clock game.
Toronto's it did.
Toronto's not going to lose both of them. They're distracted by all the Embiid injury stuff. Today's going to be a loss. Talk about the fact that every one of those four guys played their worst game this entire series.
Yeah.
And they lost by 8.
Yeah.
I'm not
worried about this series, though, Ashton. I'm worried about going forward.
I mean, even so, you know, you talk about the Heat probably is who they get next. So Embiid's going to have Deadman and Bam to deal with. I personally don't think Bam's very good.
I think Embiid eats his lunch.
A lot of points on his head.
Yeah, I think Embiid dominates him even hurt, but I'm just worried about my fear with Joel is when he hurts, he plays there's no other way to say it, a lazier type of game, meaning he plays more on the perimeter. He doesn't play as aggressive as defense. He kind of downshifts.
Let me ask you, Jamie, to hopefully try to bring you down to my level.
All right, help me.
Right, to calm you down. Don't you think he would have seemed a little bit more concerned post-game? Like, he was there, you know, he took his shots at the refs.
Yeah, but again, I don't think he's concerned about this series.
No, but, like, if he's concerned about his hand in general.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he would have said something where we all would have been like, oh, no. He didn't even say anything yesterday.
I mean, it's just...
And Embiid's not the type of guy to not say something because of gamesmanship, right?
It was like, just the worst game we've seen him play in a long time.
Okay.
And it coincides with the game he plays with.
And that's why I've said, Adam from Germantown, for still listening, let's see what he looks like in game 5. Right, Ashton?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's going to look great in game 5. I think that, and you look at it too, right? I mean, Scott Foster was the lead ref on that game, and we know Scott Foster's reputation.
Enemy of the state.
With mouthy players and things like that. You look at his record with Chris Paul. And they're playing at home. I think Embiid goes for 30 and 15 next game. I think they beat the Raptors by 20, and I think you feel better come tomorrow night.
All right, I hope so, Ashton. You gave me a little pep there at the end. Let's hope. Look, if he comes out in the first, you know, 8 minutes that he plays tomorrow night and looks like a dominant Joel Embiid and he's not grabbing at it. The thing that bugged me out was getting up off the ground, and then his teammates helping him. He wouldn't even give his hand. He was like, grab my forearm and help me up. Like, he wasn't...
Well, yeah.
I know, but the fact that he's not able to just give his buddy a... Like,
yeah,
that's... It's going to affect the way you play.
If you know that, you're going to try to take away as much stress toward your injured... Like, he is hurt. I'm not saying he's not hurt. I'm just saying, like, he had a torn meniscus in his knee. He had a torn meniscus last year and still balled out in the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's a fairly common injury in the NBA. Like, I heard a doctor last year say that 70% of the league probably has torn meniscuses.
But if you hurt your thumb, are you going to want to be helped up?
No, but that tells me it's pretty painful, too.
Yeah, okay, but, like, he's still able to do... Like,
I'm just worried teams are going to attack his thumb.
Yes.
Bam and
it's
Deadman.
Going out. They're
going
to swat like
they're
going
to come down on him. They're going to dig on every time he gets the ball.
Not just them.
Guards are going to be coming down on
Kyle
digs.
Lowry, and I'm telling you right now, in game one, will swipe at the ball.
Oh, he'll
do
something dirty. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle Lowry's become like a dirty player. He's always had that kind of honor. Dude, how about Siakam? Really playing some dishonorable basketball.
He should be fine.
Where was the sniper sitting that got him?
My God, dude.
That's embarrassing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he got the call, so he's not embarrassed.
You don't fight with honor.
Yeah, he don't. Before we get to the weekend news dump, let's sneak in Brian and Woodbury. Brian, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
So I'm a lot like you, Jamie.
No, everybody's with me today. I don't want to be like this.
I'm worried about Embiid. His injury does freak
me
out.
Well, we are in Philadelphia, so, like, what do you expect?
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody's going to question me soon. You're not a Philadelphian, are you?
You're optimistic.
You're not crying in your bed today.
Optimism's not one of our strong suits, I guess. I think one thing that makes me really worried is that when we got James Harden, I expected the James Harden that was going to put 30 points up a game. Now, I know he's passing the ball really well, and that's great for us and for the open shooters, but if he was the guy that was still putting up 30, I wouldn't feel so worrisome about Embiid's injury.
But here's the thing. I'll say this. I'll flip this right back at you, Brian. If he was that guy that was putting up 30, that means he's taking 25 shots, and we'd be losing our minds that he's being a ball hog and taken away from Embiid. He has hurt Embiid, blah, blah, blah. I'm curious to see if Embiid is not 100%, does James Harden then kind of kick it into another gear offensively?
Well, that's what I would hope that he would, but I think based on what we've seen, if he's going to kick it into another gear, he can't shoot 4 for 20.
You're right. He might not be that guy. Those days may possibly be behind him. It looks like they may be. Yeah. But, if he's an efficient, like the other night, he scored 25 points and also had 14 assists. Like, I'll take that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would take that floor game anytime. I mean, the way he passes the ball is great. I'm not so worried about this series so much because I think they win game five. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But I'm more worried about going forward because I just feel we're almost guaranteed.
Teams are going to attack it. That's what they're going to do.
But that's why I want to see how he looks in game five before
we kind of need Embiid to score like 35 for us to win games right now. Anyway, like he's our man right now. Yeah,
he's the MVP.
So yeah.
If he's only scoring 25 a game, which is still good, but not Embiid-like, hopefully Harden can make up the difference.
Yeah, let's hope. And thanks for the call, Brian. He does need to be around that 30 kind of point per game guy for this team. It's just the reality of the situation. Before we get to the weekend news dump, Scott R. checks in on Twitter. You should be embarrassed, Jamie, with how you're acting on the show this morning. Sky is falling, Jamie has returned, and is so petrified the Sixers will lose. Should I be embarrassed today, Andrew?
You should be.
Do you think I've brought dishonor to my family?
Yeah, yes, you
and
have.
And embarrassment?
I'm going to have to take you out in the boat.
Skylar Page, stop listening. Your father's embarrassing himself today with airing
all
his true feelings that I'm concerned for the fourth time
just
in 5 years.
Think about their futures when they get bullied in high school because of you.
We're going through a Sixers playoff run with yet another freaking injury.
I'm embarrassed.
All right, let's get to the weekend news dump.
Oh, yes, it is weekend news dump time. Now, last week we had a nice little theme of like porn and nudity.
Yeah, it was a very horny weekend news dump.
Horny today.
All right, good.
More so just concerning and me questioning society.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just so, like, listen, I'm getting older, so maybe I'm becoming...
Dude, fatherhood ages you. You become, like, that's why those progressive commercials are so freaking funny.
Oh, they're awesome, yeah.
Because, like, you find yourself doing stuff that you look back on prior to fatherhood,
right,
and you're like,
But not just that stuff from a funny standpoint. I mean, I'm now more attentive to these ridiculous things that are going on daily. Now, I don't know if it's social media. I don't get it. I have heard, I was one victim of it. I've now heard three people getting threatened to get killed on 676 in the last month.
Yeah, there was a shooting just the other day.
What, on the highway?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody...
It was like 6:30 at night.
Somebody told me I was going to get got, and then I heard...
Somebody told you this?
Yeah. Got out of the car on 676. I told the story in the air. Thanks for listening. There was somebody outside of here that was honking their horn saying, I'm going to shoot you another driver. And then also on 76, a guy changed lanes and got close to a truck. The truck driver got out of the car. Like, all this is like, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
What is going on out there?
But now, in the world of sports, I have to watch a nitwit every day in Minnesota run out onto the court. Glue their hands to the floor. And yesterday, some lady had a referee outfit on.
I think she was going to tie it into the protests that have been... So if you're unfamiliar with the protests...
It's Animal Rights Act.
One of the owners owns a bunch of chicken farms. The chickens had a bird flu outbreak, and I guess the way they were killed, which is what you do when there's an outbreak, was not up to the humane liking of these animal protesters. Yes. So now they're continuing to storm the court.
But then it's not just... The Timberwolves. Remember the soccer game where the guy zip tied his neck to the goalpost?
I don't think I saw that one.
You missed that one?
Yeah.
It was all over the news.
Oh, I missed that.
It was something about like oil draining, and he zip tied his neck. They had to get pliers,
jeez,
to break off the zip tie. And then, of course, as they take him off the off the field, he's got to go limp.
Dead weight. Yeah, that's what my 3-year-old toddler
and it's
does.
Like, come on. So, Memphis fan, another fan yesterday, or a T-Wolves fan, runs onto the court. I don't even know if they're a T-Wolves fan. I don't know what the hell the point is. And the security guard had to tackle her and all that kind of stuff. So, we have that. Yankees fans, yesterday, a lot of Phillies fans disguised went there.
Well, was there a special for Phillies fans to get tickets up there? Were they free or something?
So
right field bleachers, everybody can sit here for free.
Yankees come from behind.
By the way, I'm friends with two very good Yankees. Two of my very good friends are Yankees friends up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's lawlessness in those right field bleachers.
Yeah, it's
it doesn't get enough of a reputation for the hellscape that it is.
And so they come from behind, walk off single by Stan or Judge, one of those two guys, and they start throwing full beer cans. And trash meanwhile, they probably spent $30 on those beer cans in Yankee Stadium. At the right fielder for the Guardians.
Yeah, what's his name? Alex Storm?
There's a guy, Shaw, who ran up.
I think he was defending his teammate.
He ran up on the fence. And I'm like, what is it? Listen.
And the trash picked up, like, the closer they got. It was pouring down.
I think there's a lot of pompous a-hole athletes that make too much of fans booing.
He should not have climbed the fence.
Yeah, but they shouldn't
have been
throwing trash.
No, they shouldn't.
So,
but you're just gas on a fire at that point.
Well, why does it feel like we're close to another Malice at the Palace?
You know,
Russell Westbrook almost ran into the stadium or into the stands at the Wells Fargo Center last year when some a-hole dumped popcorn on him.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's going to be
a brawl
soon, players and fans.
Woj brought up, and we talked about it on the morning show this past week, Woj brought up that he thought sports gambling is negatively influencing fan behavior.
It's probably a big part of it.
And I do get, to a degree, some of what he's saying. It becomes more of a crime of passion when you're financially invested in it. Where, like, you kind of have a fit of rage and, like, throw some popcorn.
Wait, are you going to have to start coming into the game and... You know how we had proof of vaccination?
Proof of no
betting ticket for that night?
No, I don't think it's the entire reason. I think this country is becoming a bunch of a-holes everywhere.
Yeah, and it's both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides are a-holes.
But
I'm a middle political guy. It's both sides.
Yeah.
You guys are all crazy.
But I think the gambling does have a minor aspect of
that. Because if you're one leg short of a major parlay, you hate that person.
Yeah. And then you get all heated up and lathered.
And then you think about how that person
is a millionaire.
There's a lot of nonsense going on.
There is a lot of nonsense in the world.
But then there's also nonsense with owners. Have you seen what's going on in Cincinnati?
Not really, no.
So they're selling their players away again, just like Oakland did with the Athletics. They got rid of everybody. The Cincinnati Reds have a good team.
You mean the Las Vegas Athletics?
Yes.
Because that's only a matter of time.
So the Cincinnati Reds, the owner basically said on opening day, like, yeah, if you don't come here anymore, we're just going to move. Like, we'll just leave. So you have to come here.
Hasn't the attendance gone... Like, they're protesting now at this point, it seems like.
So yesterday, in the middle of an interview, there's an interview going on. They had to stop the interview to tell the fans who showed up with bags on their heads to please take off the bags. In front of everyone. Like, it wasn't like a security person went down and said, hey, can you take it off? No, on a hot mic, in front of everybody that was in attendance. Hey, everyone that has a bag, can you get it off your head? Because it says, like, sell the team and all that kind of stuff.
Did people oblige?
I think so, yeah. Because they didn't want to get kicked out of the game because they paid their hard-earned money to go to watch your
band. Man, that sucks. Like, sometimes we complain here about things. We don't have bad...
No, we do, but kudos to the Flyers. They didn't... Lou Nolan didn't go, attention fans.
I was going to say three of the
take off your masks.
Three of the four ownership groups aren't bad. Like, I don't think you really have to worry about that.
Yeah, I don't like their ownership group in terms of getting talent on the ice, but at least they're not being a-holes. Like, take off the bags.
The other three, though, I think steer you away from embarrassment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really have to worry about the Sixers, Phillies, and Eagles ever becoming that laughing stock.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I mean? So that's cool. It's never... grass is always greener, but it can also be much, much worse. So,
yes,
just kind of an appreciative of what we got statement. That's all.
This is going to be a great conversation about something that I'm sure you love, the unwritten rules of baseball.
Oh, God. Did you hear Gabe's line last week?
And
he's completely right.
No, but here's the thing. He's a fraud because he yelled at his player who bunted up 8, and then the next day he did the whole macho, well, why don't you try to get us out?
He didn't. How do we know what he said to him? He might have said, dude, I got your back. Don't worry about it.
He was pointing at him. He was angry. He was angry.
The batter said he was following the bunt call.
Okay.
Team Gabe.
Gabe Kapler, you're wrong then if you're calling bunts up 8-1. Like,
well, that was his point. What's the line of demarcation on the unwritten rules?
Well, that's the thing. I think
that's where he's right.
We have to finally write them.
Yes, just write the freaking rules.
So, don't bunt up 8-1.
Yeah, what's the line? Is it 7
but
runs?
Here's the thing.
Is it 10?
So, I always have mixed feelings with these unwritten rules. If a guy swings 3-0 and hits a home run when they're up 5 runs in the ninth inning, I'm totally fine with it. Don't throw a missile right down the middle of the plate for the guy to tee off on.
Sure.
Yesterday, did you see what happened in the Nationals game?
No.
Runner on first.
Okay.
Top of the ninth, Giants, so still Gabe, but I'm not going to rip Gabe for this one. There was a blooper. There's two outs. So
who's winning, Giants?
Giants are up 7-1, and it was the top of the ninth. They were batting. Brandon Crawford hits a blooper, but there's two outs, so the guy ran on contact and tried scoring from first base. He got thrown out at home. The Nationals players, Alcides Escobar to be exact, like ran up to the guy and like started yelling, why'd you try scoring? What?
Oh, give me a break.
And first of all, they got him out.
Yeah.
So, like, just be pumped that you got him out because you're down 7-1.
I'm sorry. My job is to end you.
Yes.
As an opponent, I want to finish you off.
And it's not like it was up 6. No, he tried
6 runs is not impossible.
It's not.
4 runs can be done in one swing of a bat.
But he didn't do anything egregious. It was the guy ran on contact. There's two outs.
That's ridiculous.
What have you been learning since you were a kid?
It's ridiculous.
Run on contact. 2 outs. Run on anything.
Yeah, of course.
And the ball dropped.
That's ridiculous.
So, like, that one's ridiculous. Now, you shouldn't be bunting when you're up 8-1.
No, don't bunt there.
So, I think the unwritten rules need to be written, including you shouldn't tackle somebody who hits a home run off of you.
Oh, I saw
this. If you haven't seen this yet, a JUCO baseball pitcher gave up a home run, and the guy was pimping around the bases, which I am all about. That is one of the unwritten rules. I'm totally fine with watching your home run ball. Show up the pitcher. Hey, pitcher, don't throw a little missile down the middle of the plate for me to hit 450 feet.
Yeah.
The pitcher took exception to it, and if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's been tweeted out.
It's wild.
The dude went full-blown over the middle, like, Vontaze Burfict on Antonio Brown tackle in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The pitcher got kicked off the team. As you
did he really?
Yeah, he just got kicked off.
Huh. I'm shocked it wasn't a bigger brawl.
I don't know how the guy who got tackled, his teammates should have had his back.
Somebody should have gotten leveled.
Yeah, I don't like.
He could have seriously hurt him.
Oh yeah, because he didn't see it coming whatsoever.
At all. And that guy's on a full sprint at him.
Yeah,
it's a wild video. Check it out on Tunis's page.
Last one for you. Just we got to stop making plaques and statues. Did you see the Baker Mayfield one?
No.
Come here. This is supposed to be Baker Mayfield.
He looks like Warren Beatty and Dick Tracy.
We got to stop.
You probably never saw that movie.
No. The only statue that I think is good is
Nick Foles Doug one. That one's identical. Just hire that statue maker for everyone.
This thing's terrible. The Ronaldo one?
The Ronaldo penis statue in his hometown?
The face one, but now also the penis statue, yes.
Yeah. What's going on?
We got to stop with the statues. Unless you work for Canton, where they're actually really good.
We
gotta stop with these.
Yeah, just stop.
Baker Mayfield's probably with
it. Well, where's he getting a statue?
I think it was his hometown.
I was gonna say, that's the only place that can do it. He doesn't deserve an Oklahoma statue. He doesn't deserve a Cleveland statue. It would only have to be his hometown.
Oh, by the way, speaking of what we just talked about with gambling, Marcus, some guy Marcus who does radio, tweeted out, "I want Kevin Durant prosecuted immediately after this game." This happened last month. Kevin Durant, I love how this popped up. Kevin Durant responded saying, "When them parlays don't hit, this is for years of slander from NBA fans. I'm grateful I have this much power now."
Whoa.
And that's where we just got into the conversation about fans maybe being a little extra because of parlays. And
I've seen a lot of players tweet about parlays.
Yeah.
And the Calvin Ridley story, you know, that's a huge deal because he went at the business's bottom line. I asked Adam Schefter a question about that, you know, maybe a month or two ago about the influence of gambling and rule changes. And he's like, "Oh, I've never heard that." And I was like,
mm-hmm.
Really?
Sure.
There's more gambling than there's ever been legally in states. And it's only a matter of time.
He does spots for DraftKings.
Yeah. There's going to be a change in the way sports are handled and viewed with gambling okayed everywhere. Yeah. Okay. That's the weekend news dump. Good job there, Andrew.
Thank you.
We got 1 hour ahead. Anthony and Landown's going to kick us off. Apparently, I should be embarrassed about how concerned I am for Joel Embiid today. So
I'm embarrassed.
We'll continue talking about that. I do want to get into the Eagles draft a little bit more. I want your three guys. So do that. Have your list of three guys. And we got to talk about the Phillies weekend. Hopefully, they can steal a series versus a very good team here today. Let's go, Phils. I'm hoping. He's the Tunis. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 10:55.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.